Three, two, one.
I'm Gil Binkley, and I'm on the phone with Justice Gregory Hobbs, Jr. He's a former Colorado Supreme Court justice, an expert in water law, and the author of essays, poems, and books. He will be speaking at the Cortez Public Library on Wednesday at 6 p.m., and will read from his most recent book, 2012's Into the Grand. Hi, Justice Hobbs, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. Glad to be with you.
All right. Well, reading over your bio, and I'm actually somewhat familiar with you just from some of your decisions on the Supreme Court, I'm struck by the idea that there seems to be something contradictory about practicing law, especially as a justice, and being a poet. One involves the use of logic and precedent, and the other relies more on feelings and inspiration. Do you feel that there was any kind of contradiction for you in that? Did you have to get into a different mindset to start writing your essays and poems? How did you deal with that?
Well, we have two hemispheres of our brain, two chambers of our heart, don't we? I think that what I've tried to do in the law and with my poetry and with my writing is trying to express justice and what I'm going to call water love. So water love and justice would be my theme at the Cortez Library, and I don't see any contradiction whatsoever. We need all parts of our functioning Western mindset, and I think we have two chambers of our heart and two lobes of our brain, which is beneficial use and preservation. So water law was my specialty, and I wrote a number of water opinions in the Colorado Supreme Court, and I believe that's probably one of the reasons I was appointed. But I love the mountains of Colorado, the canyons, the mesas, the plains, and I try to teach about water using poetry and images, which is how we communicate anyway.
When did you begin writing poetry and these sorts of personal essays?
I had a wonderful high school senior teacher when I was at a Central Catholic high school in San Antonio. I went to three different high schools, by the way. My dad was in the Air Force. My brother is the young adult author Will Hobbs, who writes out of Durango young adult novels, adventure stories. And we've just been writers for a long time. I do the poetry. He does the fiction.
So it seems like this is kind of a family trait.
Well, somehow words and putting into words what we saw as we traveled as kids from Panama to Virginia to Alaska when it was territory to Northern California, Southern California, Texas, and we were rangers at the Philmont Scout Ranch in New Mexico where the Sangre de Cristos fall off into the high plains. And we had another brother. There were three of us who traveled around together 15 months apart growing up in this Air Force family. And I think traveling together, writing together, learning as much as we could, and then moving on, and then always loving the rivers and the mountains, every place we went. Our father was a great fisherman, and our mother believed in getting out and seeing everything you could see, all you could experience, because you'd be moving on.
Well, you're obviously very familiar with the Four Corners area. I see a lot of references to that in your writings. When did you first come to this area, and what do you like about it?
Well, this is fortuitous and a coincidence. I came out of Berkeley Law School in 1971. I met at Philmont Scout Ranch, a four-generation Coloradan, Denverite, and we got married and went in the Peace Corps, and I got out of Berkeley and came to work for a federal judge in Denver, the great William Doyle, who decided the desegregation case. Yes, we had segregation in the public schools. I thought I always wanted to practice in San Francisco, went back there. We lasted 11 months and came back to Colorado. That was 73. At the same time, my brother moved from New Mexico into southern Colorado to teach at Pagosa High School. And he had a little goat farm at Chimney Rock, looking out there on that wonderful formation with those ancestral Pueblo ruins up there. So we got our footholds back in Colorado for good in 73, and then Will and I took many hikes with family members into the San Juan Mountains, into the Womanich Wilderness, and a lot of his books came out of that impetus, but he also writes about Alaska and the Northwest and the Canyon Country, and so he's a great outdoorsman. I think we learned to, we were involved in scouting, starting up in Alaska, and the three brothers, and it just all seemed to come together in Colorado, and particularly southwestern Colorado, and I've done many explorations into Mesa Verde and Hogenweep with Ken and Ruth Wright, who've done the paleohydrology, the study of the ancient waterworks there in at Goodman Point, Pueblo, and Square Tower out in Hogenweep, and then the Mug House and Box Elder Canyon in Mesa Verde. So the study of this ancient civilization, these Coloradans, these people that came before us, they practice smart water governance. They had reservoirs, cisterns. They had to nurse the water for the good of community. And I've just, for all these reasons, the stretch of the San Juans down to the Colorado Plateau through the ancestral Pueblo lands, and I don't think there's any more special place than the Four Corners. And Cortez is the launching spot.
No, that's definitely true. Do you think that we're practicing smart water governance today?
I think we're working on it. I think we're trying, and this has always been a challenge for Coloradans. Our law is beneficial use without waste, but sometimes, you know, we have folks that are applying more water, arguably, than they need to. I think water conservation for cities, smart landscaping, particularly along the Front Range, good use of water wherever we use water under our water rights system, and we need to make sure that we don't use any more than we need. That's always been the basis of the law, but I think sometimes it takes a drought like we've just had, this 16-year drought on the Colorado River Plateau, to remind us about how precious water is. So we're working on it, is what I would say.
Well, that's good. There's a theme of water in many of your poems and personal writings. Did that come as a result of your being a specialist in water law, or were you interested in water before you even became an attorney?
No, interested in water before, I'd have to say. You know, summers at the beach fishing with our father, you know, in Delaware, Bethany Beach, and then Alaska. He took us out on the great rivers, the Russian River and the Kenai River. We did our scouting up on the Sierras. My brother Will and I hiked the High Sierra Trail, the Wilderness Trail. So the water and the camping and the music of the water and being outdoors, I think, carried into his professional career as a teacher and writer, and ironically led the way for me to become a water lawyer and a justice. Of course, as a justice, I had to do civil and criminal law cases and enjoyed everything I saw, but the water jurisdiction of the Colorado Supreme Court is unique. The appeals from the seven Colorado water courts and the major water basins of Colorado go directly to the Colorado Supreme Court. So I think that's probably why Governor Romer appointed me back in 1996, is because I'd had some background in water history and culture and law, and that's exactly what I love to talk about and why I'm out here in southwest Colorado this week.
What did you learn from those years as a justice and an attorney? What did you learn that perhaps helped inform your later writings?
The water is precious. The people are attracted to water. The water has its own, you know, you can walk along any stream. Look at downtown Denver, the way it's grown up now and revitalized Cherry Creek in the South Platte. There's a lot of high-end real estate there and recreation. It's because people love the water. We're water creatures. Water appeals to us. You can hear the ancestors bubbling right beneath the water by any path you take along the waterway. So I think it resonates with us as water creatures that we need to have clean water. We live in an arid land. We need to treat it preciously. We need to respect it. And we need to have governance mechanisms that make sure that there's some order in the way we organize around water. So water conservation, water rights, and I believe this is what the ancestral Pueblans were practicing. Governance and community around a precious water supply.
Justice Hobbs, thank you very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.